Could you first tell me, Mr. Stotesbury, where and when you were born?
I was born in Beckenham, South London, April the 4th, 1937.
And who are your parents?
My father's name was Donald, my mother's was Eileen.
And what did your father do for a living?
He owned some properties, but he was really a small builder.
And what did your mother do?
She was a housewife. Yes.
And did you have any brothers or sisters?
One brother, and he's still alive, and he's younger than me, Michael.
And what did he go on and do?
He's a chartered surveyor and owns his own firm in the West End.
And where did your parents send you to school?
I went to prep school in Worthing on the South Coast, and then went on to Lancing College, also on the South Coast.
Did you know any of your grandparents?
Yes, I did. I knew on my mother's side, I knew my grandfather and my grandmother.
Yes.
That's probably why I came to the Stock Exchange in the first place. My grandfather was senior partner of a firm of stockbrokers.
Did you know this particular grandfather?
He died before I came up, but I did know him, yes. Yes.
Would you say he had any particular influence on you? Did he tell you about what the Stock Exchange was like?
No, not really. I was too young, but we kept in touch with the firm, and so on.
What was the attitude to money in the family?
I think they were very careful.
Yes.
I think it goes with a lot of people that age, remembering the 30s, 20s and 30s.
And while you were at school, did you become interested in pursuing any particular career?
I can't say I did, no. When I left, I hadn't a clue what I wanted to do.
Was there a particular attitude among your peers at school to a career in the city or the different careers that one might have? Did people think it was that the city might be a desirable career, or was it regarded somehow
not particularly
interesting?
No, in those days, school seemed to be an isolated world, sort of an unreal feel about it.
So what were your plans as you came to the end of your school education?
Well, I thought I was going to do national service. And in fact, I was regarded as medically unfit, which is a bit of a joke. And so I was left with time on my hands, you might say, and I had to make a decision what I would do.
And what decision did you make?
I went out to my grandfather's firm, a small firm of stockbrokers, just for a short time. The idea was just for a short time, to see whether I liked it or not.
When was this?
This was back in 1955.
And what was the name of the firm?
A firm called Davy & Candy.
So what did you do with them?
I did everything. From making the tea to dealing with clients, and it was a very small firm, and unfortunately it wasn't under the best management. Since my grandfather had died, they'd lost a lot of partners, and it was all right while times were good, but it wasn't so good when things got more tricky. But at least I learnt a lot of how to do a lot of things.
How would you describe it in other ways? Was it mainly a private client?
Yes, it was.
Broker? And did they specialise in any particular stocks?
They did have one particular good client in Schroders, but otherwise it was private clients. No, they didn't specialise in any particular stocks. They did have some foreign business originally through Schroders, which they had certain expertise there, which I think lasted a little while anyway.
And were they small in terms of the number of partners?
Well, unfortunately, they only had one real partner. This was the firm's undoing.
And what was the office like itself in terms of the accommodation? Was it fairly simple accommodation?
Yes.
Small?
Yes, it was pretty small, simple, adequate.
And did they ever actually send you onto the floor of the house?
Yes, I did. I went on as a blue button and worked my way up. Managed to get hold of clients myself, and I could make an adequate living through a salary and through commission.
Mm. So at one point you were also authorised to deal?
Oh yes.
Yes. How long?
I became
that?
A member. Yeah. And dealt. Did everything really.
At that time, what were your impressions of jobbers? Did you feel that they were a different breed?
Yes, I did. The last thing I wanted to be was a jobber.
And why was that?
I don't know. Perhaps I felt quite wrongly that they were an inferior breed. I haven't a clue. Mm-hmm. I think it could be. Mm-hmm.
In what ways would you gain that kind of impression? Was it simply a general attitude among your peers on the stock exchange, or did they seem to come from a different type of social background?
It's difficult to say. I think the skills of jobbing were very different to skills needed for broking.
How would you contrast those skills?
Well, they're traders, jobbers. So they need to be very quick-witted and canny. Stockbrokers needed a more, perhaps broader approach to life and business. Mm-hmm.
As a broker, did you have to develop an expertise in dealing with the jobbers, in the sense that you had to be alert to the different types of ways a jobber might deal, and be alert to make sure that you weren't taken advantage of, or you always got the best price for your client?
Yes, you learnt the hard way, mm-hmm. and you. Through experience, through getting on with people, through standing up for yourself when you had to do.
Yes. Do you have any recollections of particular experiences in which you feel you learned?
Oh, I had when I, occasionally I handled one or two large orders, mm. and the experience of handling them and dealing with different characters and how they reacted. Yes, I had a very, I got a very vivid memory of one or two occasions and instances.
Mm-hmm. Could you describe one or two of those occasions?
Yes, I had a block of shares in a company which, although it wasn't a controlling interest in this particular company, it carried a lot of weight as far as votes are concerned. And it was a deceased account. And I, having checked the price, I soon realised that they were very interested in the fact that I was even checking the price. And it was creating a bit of a stir. And the whole thing probably took perhaps a couple of days to do, because I didn't rush the thing. in the end, the jobbers were chasing after me, of course. And one was happy for. My point of view, things were getting better and better. Mm. Eventually, one decided to deal. And the one jobber who failed in the particular transaction, when he heard that I dealt, left the pitch and wasn't seen for days afterwards. He's in a leading firm of jobbers. And in actual fact, I hardly ever saw him after that. He was very upset, but he was a very volatile character. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't realised at the time I was going to have that effect. He'd always been a sort of demigod to me. It was an interesting experience, and taught me a few things, I think.
When you checked your price, did you go around to all the jobbers dealing in that particular stock, or did you go around?
Oh yes, one checked with only the jobbers, but it was only the leading firms who really could, who were prepared to put up a position, suitable, to, you know, competitive terms. Mm.
And when you say the jobbers in the end were chasing you, what did that mean? Were they contacting you at the office, or were they sending
their
blue
buttons? Oh yes, they that's right. They were contacting them myself. Yeah, it was personally. But it, very rarely did I have that opportunity of having. most of the business is rather small and probably rather mundane to them. But that was just one experience amongst a number. And I think I grew up, and it did me a lot of good to have to handle that sort of business. And it was, you know, I was still quite young at the time.
Mm. About how old were you at this stage?
Oh, I think I was probably early 20s. Mm. Might be 23, something like that. Mm. It's difficult to say. Mm.
Did you find these kind of episodes nerve-wracking for you? Or did you feel the weight of responsibility, the responsibility on behalf of your client? Or was it simply a case of doing a job?
I felt the responsibility of dealing for my own clients, particularly when the sort of widow and orphan variety, because they, in those days, one freely gave advice to them. You know, they were expecting you to very often look after their portfolio of investments, and one felt very much more responsibility than when one was a jobber and one was dealing for one's own self. Mm-hmm. If you made a mess of it as a jobber, well, bad luck, it's only your own money. But if you made a mess of it as with your investment advice, you felt terribly responsible. And this did weigh heavily with me.
How would you describe the stock exchange at this time? What kind of place was it? Was it still a fairly old-fashioned place, if that's one way of putting it?
Oh, very much so. When I first dealt, there were many, many jobbers, and there was most of them didn't have price boards up or anything, and you had to find your own way around. You had to learn the hard way where to check prices. It was only later they put their names up, and you learnt who was who. And it's amazing how quickly you learn when you've got to. And it was very much a club. Mm-hmm. People were very helpful. If you respected age.
Were there a lot of fairly elderly people working in the stock exchange?
Oh yes, very much so. They seemed to stay up there and work until they dropped in those days.
Was it primarily a workplace, or did you feel people also simply enjoyed being in there because of the club aspect?
Oh, I think primarily it was a place of work and business, but yes, there were lots of people who carried on because of the clubby atmosphere and the general, yes, because they enjoyed life there.
Now, you didn't stay with the broking firm.
No, I didn't.
How did it come about that you move? For example, what were your reasons for moving?
I told you that it was effectively a one-partner firm, a very unhealthy situation. And I felt the firm was going nowhere. In fact, I felt it was going downhill. So I made a move to secure some sort of control over it by asking the senior partner what plans he had as far as partnership was concerned. And the way things were going, and the way he didn't give me a straight answer, and then eventually offered me sort of 10% on not very good terms. Made me feel that he didn't know where he was going. And I wanted to be in a firm where I could have some say in the running of affairs, since my whole future was tied up with it. I didn't have a large clientele. And the period of indecision, I suppose, lasted 2 or 3 years. And eventually I was a small firm of stock jobbers, Charlesworth, who I was very friendly with. I did a lot of my small gilt business with them. Asked me to join them. Well, I didn't take any notice, I just laughed. And then 6 months later, they again approached me. And I think I'd had a bad day. And again, I approached the senior partner, and again, he seemed to be full of indecision. And I decided it, even if it was a short-term move, I would join Charlesworth. If I didn't enjoy it, at least I would come in contact with a lot of other brokers and probably be able to get back into stockbroking without too much difficulty. Mm. So I committed myself to the move, much against my family's. They weren't very happy about it.
Why was that?
The old family tradition, I think. The fact it was originally my grandfather's firm. Mm. He was the Davy of Davy and Candy.
And what happened to your own clients? Did you pass them on to...
I passed them on to somebody in the office to look after.
And how did you feel about making this change? Did it feel as if you were starting all over again and you had to learn new skills, or was it a fairly easy transition because you already basically knew what the jobbers did?
It wasn't too difficult. They're fairly easy with me. And in those days, one didn't... Gilt-edged jobbing was not going through a very good time. It was actually... it was a contracting industry at the time, and a contracting business. And a lot of people thought I was mad, but I'd seen the figures, and I could see the potential. And so it proved. Mm-hmm. I went in just at the right time.
Now, when was it that you joined Charlesworth?
I've got to work this out now. I was about 30, 31 at the time. So that was 20 years ago.
Yes,
so that was sort of 21 years ago.
Yes. And what were the reasons for the partners in Charlesworth encouraging you to join them? Were they looking for more partners?
They were fairly elderly, except for one, who was my own age. And the one of my own age was looking, obviously, for somebody else to continue on the business with him. Mm. There was no need for capital. They were overcapitalized. To give you some idea of the health of the firm, you might say, from a financial point of view, they could run the whole outfit, pay all expenses, and have change just from the interest on the money in the firm.
Is this because the partners themselves were fairly wealthy individuals?
They were comfortably off, and you could run a firm, a small firm of jobbers in those days, on a shoestring. You didn't pay the staff very highly.
And were the overheads otherwise quite low?
They were. Very low.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe the firm at this time? You said it was a small gilt-edge jobbing firm. Was it a fairly old firm?
Yes. We believe the history goes back to the early part of the last century. But we've got no, unfortunately, a move about wartime. Everything went up in smoke. I think somebody put on all the old files, they put on the bonfire. Mm. We've got records, or at least the William and Glynn's Bank, which became Glynn Mills and then became... they've got records going back to 1870 that we were banking with them. But we believe it goes back quite a way before that.
Was it a family firm?
Yes, it was. There was a Charlesworth.
And what kind of staff did they employ at the time?
In fact, the last Charlesworth to be a partner died or moved out in 1920, I believe.
Mm. And was there any family connection after that, in the sense that...
Not really. No. We did actually employ somebody who was was a Charlesworth up to the time we were taken over, but he wasn't in a senior position.
And about how many staff did you have?
We, partners and staff together, came to about a dozen with about five or six messengers.
And again, what kind of offices did you occupy? Were they simple? Did you have much in the way of equipment? Or
Dickensian is the answer there.
Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, before I joined them, you had, when they paid for stock or deliveries took place, I went round there a few times, and all it lacked was the quill pen. Otherwise, you could have gone back to Dickens' time.
And they dealt in purely gilt stocks?
In effect, yes. Occasionally they dealt in corporation stock when it was a new issue or easily marketable, but you could say that, yes.
And did the senior partner at this time have any particular idea about what he wanted to do with the firm, in the sense that this was a period when a lot of jobbing firms were merging together, and also firms were trying to spread their coverage over a wide range of the market, and some firms were also trying to enlarge their capital base. Were these ideas that were ever in the minds of...
No, not at all. They were happy. They were making a good... They were happy in what they were doing. They weren't working terribly hard. In those days, the gilt market didn't open until 10 in the morning, and you got away quite early in the afternoon. It was a very simple but good life for them, and... They were doing enough small business to... They had no ambitions to grow. As long as they could keep in good terms with the brokers who would bring them the small business on a regular basis, and prices were competitive. They didn't have to have large positions. Didn't go home in the evening and sort of wake up in the middle of the night screaming because you had a large bull or bear position. And didn't have to have it in those days.
So were you dealing in a different kind of business to the business that the larger firms like Wed Durlacher or Aykroyd and Smithers were dealing in?
Yes. They were doing a large business. We were doing the small business, and Charlesworth knew its place. Mm-hmm. It was a small jobber. Mm-hmm. If you had a too big a position, then you used to undo it with one of the large firms. They were happy for you to exist because they didn't want to handle all the small business. And so it was quite a... It was a fairly... You knew your position.
Mm. Was it a competitive market?
Yes, it was, because there were quite a lot of small jobbers. So you were jealous of the small business, and if one of your brokers dealt with somebody else, you could get a little bit upset.
And did you see different brokers to the sort of brokers who Ackroyd and Smithers and Wood Dunaker were seeing?
Yes, you saw the brokers with the private client business.
Could you say then that in the sense that you were dealing with private client business rather than institutional business, that the fluctuations in your market were slightly different to those in the bigger size bargains that the Weds and the...
One did occasional larger bargain, and some of these people tried to catch you out in case you were making the wrong price, or it might suit you occasionally. But no, the fluctuations, you didn't get the fluctuations in business that you got later in those days, but that was the same for the large business and all the small business. The movements were exactly the same. The prices were basically set by the large business, by the Wed Derleckers of this world. In fact, it was Derlecker, I think. I'm not sure whether the merger had taken place in those. It was Wed in those days. Mm. The merger hadn't taken place, I don't think.
Now, how would you describe the gilt market physically at this time? You were still in the old stock exchange.
Yes, we were one end of it. Mm. And it was... All the jobbers were dotted around. We had our own little bench. I remember the Wed was opposite us on the pillar. Alexander Thompson, I think, was behind us. Ackroyd was on the wall. Francis and Praed was on a, they were on a, another bench further away. Wolf Christie were on a bench to our right. The other side of the pillar, I believe, was Prance. And Wilson was on a bench further away, out in the middle somewhere.
Did you basically keep an eye on what the others were doing? Or were you generally so busy yourselves dealing that you simply didn't have time? Or?
Oh, you kept, you had plenty of time. You didn't all do all that many bargains in those days. You could, yes, you had to be aware of the prices, of changes taking place in price and so forth. And because you didn't want to be out of line.
And are there any particular individuals or characters from the gilt market at that time who stand out?
There were lots of them. There weren't just one or two. I'm trying to think of a few of their names. Suddenly, I'm sure other people will remind you. My memory's gone suddenly gone.
Yeah. Well, let's return more specifically to your own career. You joined Charlesworth. Did you join as a partner?
No, I didn't. I particularly wanted to be an employee for a period of time to see how I got on.
So what were your first jobs with the firm?
Oh, I came on the floor immediately and started dealing. You know, I mean, I took advice and so forth. No, I came straight on and...
So you were there as an authorised clerk?
Yes, a member. You know, I was a member, but... in fact, I had more success than I thought I was going to, because the fact that I was a broker before, a lot of the broking fraternity knew me from that, and they saw a friendly face which they recognised. In those days, gilt market had a certain mystique about it. And to find one of their number was actually had become a jobber, they came and dealt with me very often. So I added to the list of brokers who were dealing with Charles with quite a considerable margin during the first few months of working there, I seem to remember.
Were any particular comments made at the time by your former broking colleagues that you'd gone over to the other side, as it were?
Oh, some of them were surprised. Yes, I think they were quite surprised.
And what were your own feelings as the first few occasions that you stepped into the house now as a jobber rather than a broker? Was it a difficult transition? Was it something you were apprehensive about?
Oh, naturally one was apprehensive.
Mm.
But in retrospect, the transition wasn't as traumatic as I thought it might be.
And how did you learn your jobbing skills? Were you standing with a particular partner in the firm?
For the first few days, I was. And I used to get advice from him. But I didn't really start to learn how to do it until he fell ill for a couple of months, within a month of my joining the firm. And everybody came to me. And I had to learn the hard way. And just as it had been the hard way, the best way, to learn broking,